All right, we have Brian now. Brian, how you doing, man?
We still don't have him.
What's going on, man? We have no connect.
Yeah, I'm
Where is he?
I don't know.
I hear his voice in here.
Really? I don't hear him. Oh, there he is. I got you.
You
now.
Can hear me. You can hear me now.
Now I hear you. All right,
I'm starting to think you're just ignoring me on purpose.
That, actually, thanks for putting that idea in my head. That's for next week. But we do finally have you, Brian. How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. You know what? I was in town on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had to come to the Monday night game. It's Monday night football. It was a must-win game for the Eagles. But I'm going to tell you this, Mike. I was in town. I used visitphilly.com, which was a great site. Certainly hooks you up with a hotel. And I stayed downtown at the Rittenhouse Hotel. And I got to tell you, if you are looking for a hotel, that's the place to go. They certainly took care of me. And so I appreciate
it. Well, yeah, and I knew you were in town because my friend sent me a photo. He posed with you.
That's
on
right.
The red carpet area there with the backdrop.
Well, let me give
one
you a little bit of
my hometown friends.
Yeah, so this guy comes up. Weird looking fella. I could tell he was from Bristol, Connecticut. So
Bristol, PA, not Connecticut.
Yeah, PA. I'm sorry. So he comes up. He said, I'm friends with Mikey Mist, which made me laugh immediately. And so he was like, he's such a great athlete. He's such a great guy. And I'm like, you're full of crap. Mike is not a good athlete, and he's an okay guy. He said, no, he's great, and so blah, blah, blah.
He sent me a photo, and I immediately said, who's the tool with my friend Chuck? So that's the way that went.
That's right.
Listen, we get this big game here with the Dallas Cowboys. First of all, I'm feeling actually pretty good about it. I see a short line. I see the Eagles winning this game. That's my general feel. Now, I don't really have anything on paper or tangible to back that up, except I have a hunch. What are you feeling?
Well, I'll say this. There's a lot of different things that have to happen in the Eagles' way, for this thing to go good for the Birds. And I think they started some things these last couple weeks that will help them win the football game. And we could go through them offensively and defensively. And then at the end, we can make up a decision of how close this game should be and where the Eagles will be at the end of it. How about that?
Okay.
let's do it that way because there's no reason to say, hey, I know this team is going to win or that team is going to win without giving some background, some filler to the story.
All right, let's give some filler to the story because I don't think you're feeling that good about it. So let's go with this. The obvious thing is that the Eagles would, you know, they have to possess the ball. I would like to keep Dallas on the field so they don't possess the ball because they're good at possessing the ball without running attack. So how do they do it offensively? And B, once Dallas has the ball, how do they stop Zeke, who's getting 5-6 yards of carry on first and second downs?
So first of all, offensively, we're talking about an offense that has been pretty balanced these last couple games. That means Josh Adams has to be able to run the ball effectively. And we've seen him run the ball out of the shotgun. We've seen him run the ball with Carson under center. They've done a good job of controlling the offensive line of scrimmage. And that starts with up front. The guys in the trenches, Peters and Kelsey and Lane and Brooks, Sayamalu in there, they have done a pretty good job the last couple weeks. And remember, last week against Deron Payne and Allen, those are two good defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. They did a really good job against those guys last week. So we have to be able to control the line of scrimmage, get the run game going so we're not in 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and long. Second thing, so we have to establish a run game. We know that, right?
Okay, yes.
That starts up front. Establish the run game, control the line of scrimmage. Carson Wentz has to be accurate. And that's one of the things that, as I watch the tape, there's too many throws in my mind that Carson is not putting the ball where the receivers need to have the ball.
And I'm embarrassed.
And what's the reason?
Did you hear that veiled shot in the F5?
I see that.
In other words, he's saying, well, somebody else used to do that too.
Well, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about Carson Wentz. We're talking about Carson and his ability to use his fundamentals the right way. Step where he's trying to throw the football and deliver it. He has to do a better job of that. And I
agree with you. He did miss some targets last week. All right, what's the other thing?
Feet. I mean, his feet are pointing one way. He's throwing the ball the other way. To me, that's just sloppy play. Coaches need to get on him about that. But there was a couple opportunities for him to throw the ball deep. And I was watching the game last night. both quarterbacks last night. They're taking shots. They didn't connect a whole bunch, mm-hmm. but they're taking shots deep. That makes a defense play differently. We have to make sure that their defense knows we're at least willing to take some shots deep. That means Aguilar. That means Jeffrey, who has been open a couple times deep. We have to be willing to throw the ball to those guys. And I know Ertz is a big part of our game plan, but we have to be able to throw the ball to other people, get them opportunities down the field so the defense respects us. We have to be able to do that.
All right. Let's, you know, Wentz looked really good rolling the pocket last week. He made some really accurate throws that way. When he rolls right, especially, and throws it back towards the field, he seems to be able to laser balls into people.
But you know why? You know what that why that is?
Why?
Because in the pocket, he can step to the left and throw to the right, and that's why he's been inaccurate. When he's rolling, all of his body weight, all of his legs and his feet are going in the direction he's trying to get the ball to. That's why he's been more accurate as he rolls, getting on the edge, getting outside the pocket, and throwing the football. Everything is going the same direction as he wants the ball to go. That's why his throws, especially on the edge, have been better. And I'm with you on the fact that if we could get him on the edge more, we're in a better position for his accuracy and getting the ball to the receivers. I certainly think that would be a big part of
it. So roll the pocket a little bit against this team.
No doubt about it. Roll the pocket. And listen, we know what their defense can do. We know what those linebackers can do. They're sideline to sideline guys. I'm saying we need to go run downhill, allow Peters, allow Kelsey, allow Lane Johnson to get their hands on those linebackers early and often and not allow them to roam sideline to sideline. We have to be able to do that early on in the football game to wear those guys down.
All right. Golden Tate arrives last week. Mm-hmm. 7 targets, 7 catches. Yep. Jeffrey, not as many targets. Make some sense of this. And is that a good thing or not?
I don't think there's any type of continuity between Alshon and Carson. I think there are a lot of times that Carson wants to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and Alshon's just not open. So he'll quickly look at Alshon, and then when Alshon is hand fighting at the line of scrimmage, Carson gets off of him and goes to the next receiver. I saw that on the goal line. I saw that in the middle of the field. I saw that backed up last week where Alshon is just still at the line of scrimmage trying to figure out a way, and Carson gets off of him and moves on to another player. Here's the other thing. There's other times where Alshon is getting free releases, and if Carson holds the ball another second longer and doesn't throw the ball to Ertz, he has Alshon streaking down the sideline as well. So there's times where Alshon has to do a better job of getting off the line of scrimmage. There's also times where Carson has to know what the defense is, read the safety, move him over left and right just a bit, and then throw the other way to Alshon Jeffrey because he is wide open a few times throughout the game.
All right, now the Eagles defensively have a couple of linebackers that have casts on their hand.
Yeah.
One guy who really isn't that good in Gary, although he did get an interception, and a back line where you're, again, starting two corners that haven't really arrived, if they're ever going to arrive, in Douglas and Sidney Jones. So how can they pull it off defensively?
Well, this is what I saw last game, and I went back and watched that game again earlier today. And what we saw was a defensive line that didn't shed a block, meaning when the offensive lineman got on them and started to block them, they did not get off so they can make a play. The best defensive lines have the ability to two-gap, meaning they stand their man up, they can go to the right or to the left. Our defensive line in our first game, they didn't do a very good job of one-gapping, two-gapping. They didn't do anything right as far as getting off the block. So that means our front four, they have to do a better job up front. And I think if Tim Jernigan is healthy enough to play, that addition of depth, especially with that second unit that struggled and had a lot of big runs occur against them, I think that will help that defensive line a lot. So almost the same thing for the linebackers. They do not do a very good job of disengaging when guys block them. And so the good linebackers, you remember Jeremiah Trotter, guys like that, and even the guys from Tennessee last night, they come downhill from the linebacker position approaching the line of scrimmage. The last time we played Dallas, our linebacker stayed at 5 yards deep and allowed the offensive lineman to get up to him and block him right there. And now Zeke is not getting hit until the safety comes up and hit him at 8-9 yards. That's just not going to work. And if we play that type of defense, Zeke will have another 150-yard game. So our linebackers have to come downhill, attack the line of scrimmage. Our defensive line has to get off. And then the other part is our DBs. They played aggressive last week against Adrian Peterson. Everything except for the 90-yard run, they have to be willing to come up and make some tackles. The last game that we played against Dallas, they missed an awful lot of tackles. And those are the cutback runs that Zeke had a lot of success on. Our DBs just didn't do a very good job of tackling. And they had ended up with some big runs for Ezekiel Elliott.
All right, let's get to the phones and see what the people are saying in the 4 o'clock hour with Brian. We'll go to Brian in Lehigh Valley. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, bud?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, Brian Westbrook, man, you're a hero, just so you know.
Thank you very much.
He's my hero, too.
I was at the Giants game, and then I was watching the game last week. And, you know, since the second half of the Giants game to the end of the Redskins game, with some mistakes here and there, I seen a different energy in the team that you didn't see since the Atlanta game. You know, I mean, kind of some of the intangible stuff that I think we're going to see is a different team in this last stretch of the season here. And I mean, I believe we're a playoff team. I believe we're going to make the playoffs, but I don't know if I'm not the only one seeing it, but I feel like there's a different energy throughout this team, more motivation. And, you know, I just haven't seen the team playing with as much passion as you have since the second half of the Giants game.
But I hope you're right, man. But you got to keep in mind that there was no way they knew they couldn't lose that game last week. And there was no way they could lose against the Giants because they stink too. So I'm trying to get a gauge on these last two opponents to tell me how good the Eagles are. I still don't have an answer.
Yeah, I definitely think we're a better team than the Cowboys. The Cowboys, I mean, the defense is no joke. And, you know, obviously they have Zeke, but I don't know. I feel like we're going to put a lot of pressure on Dak, and we got to play a little more contained. And I fully agree with the linebacker situation. It's so frustrating watching these linebackers just get hit.
Yeah, well, I know. It's interesting, Brian, you brought up the linebackers. And, like, you know, you have to really use your hands to get off blocks, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And when you have a cast on your hand, that's kind of tough.
It's going to be very tough because that offensive line does a great job of double teaming at the line of scrimmage and then going up to the linebackers. If they can't get off these blocks, it will be a repeat of what happened a couple weeks ago against Dallas.
Yeah, now there are a lot of Eagle fans that are taking some energy from the last two games. They won two in a row. They hadn't won two in a row. They beat the Giants. They beat Washington. And, the last week was a donation. Frankly, by the Redskins, because there was no way. I'm watching the game. There's no way that this guy can beat the Eagles. So I don't know what to take about it. Are they more together as a team right now than you've seen?
Well, that's the hard part. And I think when you look at the last two opponents, two teams that are not very good. Now, the Giants have an awful lot of weapons that they use in the first half. They put up 19 points. In the second half, they decided not to use those weapons, and our defense looked a lot better. The Redskins are just bad overall. A lot of injuries, not a very good and well-coached team. And so I think the one thing you can take from those games is that we have some confidence. And every now and then, you just need a game where you can just gain some confidence that the guys on the back end could come up and hit somebody in the mouth and see that this actually works, the scheme actually works. They feel it. Now, we're going to see a totally different animal in this Dallas Cowboys team. Their offensive line, they have confidence. They're coming off a game 10 days ago that they beat the New Orleans Saints, one of the best teams in the league. So they have confidence as well. For us, it's going to be simple. And you can take a lot from what you saw last night in the game with Tennessee and the Jaguars. When you have somebody like Derrick Henry, and you kind of, him and Zeke aren't the same type of player, but they're both volume backs. They both get the ball a lot. When you're hitting somebody in the mouth, running down their throat, their will to win is taken away. We saw that in the first time we played against Dallas. Last night, we saw a good Jaguars defense look terrible because Derrick Henry took that will to play defense and to tackle away. Now for us, we have to be aggressive. We have to attack. To me, it starts with Jim Schwartz. We saw that type of aggression last week against a not very good team in the Redskins, but our DBs came up and attacked the line of scrimmage. Linebacker, safety, everybody was flying to the ball. It looked good. If we had that same type of intensity, I think we'd see a different type of football game than we did a couple weeks ago against Dallas.
All right, let's go to Pat and Cherry Hill. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian Westbrook is on with you.
Brian, it's great to talk to you. How you doing today, Mike? Brian Westbrook was one of my favorite Tufts Eagles of all time. But I got to disagree with Mike Missinelli because we have two linebackers with the old club hands, and I think Zeke is going to go crazy, and I don't think the D-line is going to have that great of a game as they did against the Giants and the Redskins, because I think the Dallas offensive line is much better than the two previous opponents.
Yeah, if Tyron
it's going to be a close game,
if
we're going to get beat.
Smith plays. I don't know if the left tackle is going to play in this game. Do we know if he's going to play?
Yeah, but we got Hicks out of the game. And
if you listen to me, I've been afraid of the linebackers. I'm just picking the Eagles on a hunch. The line tells me Eagles. I just have a feel. But you're right. On paper, from the linebackers to the back end, it's not exactly brimming with confidence for me.
Not at all. And, I mean, Zeke's going to go crazy because he had, what, 150 the first game?
Well,
I just think the Dallas is going to come into the early lead. We're going to catch up. But then I believe in the second half is when we fold up.
You don't have any faith, Pat. You don't have any faith.
No, I don't. You're right.
The season is ending for you on Sunday?
This Dallas team, I don't know about that. Perhaps we'll be like Carolina was 4 years ago. Remember? They were 7-9 and won a division.
That wasn't Carolina, was it? Was it Carolina?
Yeah, the Panthers.
I thought Seattle won too.
They won the South, remember?
All right, yeah.
They got the playoffs. Maybe we could do that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, bro.
Well, Dallas has to lose a couple more games, I know.
I think this is the game. If they don't win this game, I think you can pack away the helmets.
So you say we lose, we're done?
I think so.
I think we could still have a good game, perhaps beat the Rams and the Texans, but that's going to be a very tall order.
Yeah. If you can't beat Dallas, I don't know how you're going to beat the Rams and Texans back-to-back.
It's going to be tough. One of the things that I think we saw last week that changed the fortune of the game, the outlook from both sides, I'm talking about the play callers with Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz. When we go down and score first possession, I think it was 12 plays, that changes how loose and how tight the defensive play caller as well as the offensive play caller are. And I think when you look at how many people touched the ball last week and how successful we were and willing to run the football, it all goes back to being dominant up front, of course, but also the ability to go down and score in that first possession, which we haven't done very often at all this season.
All right, let's get Dan and Ben Salem in here. Dan, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Dan.
What's up, Mike? It's been a while.
How you doing, Danny?
All right. I don't know what that last caller was talking about. The Eagles can absolutely win this game.
Well, his opinion was they weren't going to win it. That's valid, too. He had reasons for it.
All right, fair enough. But there's a couple things that have to happen for the Eagles to win. One, I think they absolutely have to establish a running game. Like B. West said a little bit, their linebacker, Jaylon Smith, he's a sideline-to-sideline linebacker. So you got to get up into him. You got to get a helmet on him, and you got to run right at him.
All right. Okay, I like it.
Most importantly, though, Mike, I think Carson Wentz has to be a top-five quarterback like he was last year.
I agree.
I haven't seen that yet.
He
needs to be able to avoid the rush. He needs to be able to make plays happen. He needs to make people miss and find people downfield.
I agree with you. I think this has to be a Carson game. He's got to make some big plays in this game.
Yeah, Dexter Lawrence, he's a beast on the edge, and he's going to get there, but Carson has to make him miss and buy time and find somebody downfield, not just Hurts.
I like it, Danny. Are you feeling good about it or not? I think you've already answered it.
No, I do think they're going to win, but
it's going to
be a close game. Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. I don't know if our defense can hold up, that secondary. You know, I think we'll be able to stop Zeke a little bit. I like our front, but that secondary is shaky. But,
yeah
I said 27-24 Eagles.
I like it. Here's my worst nightmare, that the Eagles take the lead, and they have a two-point lead, and Dallas wins it on a field goal. It's the ultimate stick a knife in your heart.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that.
I'm not so worried about our secondary. Our front seven is going to either win or lose this football game. I'm not worried as much about Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup. I'm worried about us stopping Zeke, because that's going to determine whether the play action game, whether the rollout game for Dak Prescott is going to work at all. So I mean, it's all about our front seven and what they can do to stop the run game of Dallas Cowboys.
All right, one open line 610-622-0975. Much more to come with Brian Westbrook till 5 o'clock. Mike Missanelli show also coming up in 5 minutes, our fearless forecast. That's right. The locks of the week, Westbrook and myself going head to head right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Sports talk for Germantown, Mount Airy, and all of Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, see what that means. Yep, it's time, Brian Westbrook and I, to give our fearless selections for the NFL card this weekend. And that is, of course, brought to us by McCausland Lock Services. 50% off car keys and remotes online at 4carkeys.com. Vegas.com. You ready, Brian?
I am absolutely ready because I think Vegas is confused this week.
Okay.
I think they're losing their mind. I'm going to start in Cleveland, where the Carolina Panthers, you know, this game started the beginning of the week as a pick 'em. But now, for some reason, the Carolina Panthers are favored by a point and a half, and I just don't see why.
Ooh.
Cam Newton's shoulder is hurt. He's thrown at least one interception in the last four games. He threw four interceptions last week. They were on the 50-yard line. They put in the backup quarterback because Cam couldn't throw the Hail Mary at the end of the game. Baker Mayfield has been playing some of the best football he's ever played. He's thrown eight touchdowns in the last three games. And simply put, Cleveland Browns win this game at home outright.
Oh, my God. Carolina is desperate.
They are desperate. And they're desperate because they're not very good. That's why they're desperate at this point.
Oh, you're going brownies at home.
That's the issue.
What?
I'm pretty sure you picked Carolina when you sent me your picks.
Nope. That's the problem.
We have a discrepancy.
When I send you my picks, what happens is you give my picks to Mike, and then I come on, and Mike has his little arguments ready.
I don't even get your picks. Mm-hmm. Well, Tyrone gives them to NBC Sports Philly, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, so on the TV side, it has you picking Carolina.
Well,
but
they're wrong.
You okey-doked it,
and you're
going to go Cleveland.
I'm going Cleveland. They're working the system. Cleveland wins this thing here.
All right, Cleveland is your selection.
All right. Next one.
Mm-hmm.
New York Giants are going to the Washington Redskins, who are absolutely done. They're done. That defense that used to be really good against the run, they're not very good against the run anymore. The Giants are favored by 3.5. They win that thing big. I'm telling you right now, the Redskins have no offense. I don't know if they can score. The Giants win that thing by more than 3.5. That's what goes on in Washington this week.
I'm on that game also, brother.
Another good game right there.
Yeah, okay.
Last one.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, again, Vegas has this thing all confused. San Francisco is getting visited by the Denver Broncos, who are favored by 3.5. But this is not your mama's Denver Broncos team. This is a Denver Broncos team that has won some really important games in the last couple weeks. They beat Cincinnati by 14 last week. Everybody beat Cincinnati. No big deal there. But they beat Pittsburgh by 7 the week before in Denver. The week before that, they went out to the Chargers and beat them by 1. This is a very good defensive football team for the 49ers. They will shut down Mullins and whoever else is going to play quarterback. And on that offensive team for the 49ers, they have no hope. They win this game big time.
Shirking the line. You're shirking the line. This started out at 6. It's now down to 3.5. People are betting San Francisco for a reason. 49ers outright. How's that?
There's no reason to bet the Panthers. They have nobody on offense. I can't name but one person.
I look at the line. I don't need to look at the players. all right, my selections. I will go with the Giants as well. The Washington Redskins showed me all they have last week. There's no way Sanchez puts this ball in the end zone. So I like the Giants -3.5 going at Washington, by the way. A road favorite. I'll take them. I'll also take the Ravens over Kansas City. Now, this game started out at 9.
It's down to
6.5. Ravens could win the game in Kansas City.
Wow.
But they will cover the 6.5. Yes, a lot of people betting the Ravens. I pay attention to that line. And finally, for my third selection, again, the line is talking to me. This should be a 5-point choice, Dallas. They're not. They're 3.5. Vegas loves the Eagles in this game to stay close. I think it's a field goal game. I think they can win the game. If they lose the game, they will cover by a 0.5. I'll take the Eagles. So there's the selections.
Okay.
Brian Westbrook going with Cleveland, Denver, and the New York Giants. I'm going with the Ravens, the Eagles, and the New York Giants. Take it for what it's worth. All right, Football Friday is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice. For accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse, remember Rosenbaum, over 2 decades helping our community. Brian, did you read the story in the Players Tribune by Allen Iverson?
I did not.
All right, well, I'll tip you off. It's a really good read. It's Allen in his own voice telling stories.
And
very few of them have to do with.
Allen's an entertaining dude.
He really is entertaining, and he tells some stories that are wildly entertaining. Now, I've read a couple stories from the piece. People are ripping me on Twitter saying, stop trying to read it in AI's voice. I'm not trying to read it in AI's voice. I'm trying to read it with a cadence. But just to satisfy the haters, in the 5 o'clock hour, I'll read another part of the story in total white man voice.
I think
How's
you
that?
Should read it in
Alan
AI's voice.
In total white man voice. That's the way it's going to roll out.
White man voice.
Coming up in 5 hour. Let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mike, you missed Brian today.
What's up, Dave?
What's up, Dave?
Brian, this edition of the Eagles bears an eerie resemblance to the 2008 Brian Westbrook-led Eagles. Mm. Brian, for the most of that season, your team was leaking oil. And then, bam, you finish out beating the Cards, Giants, Browns, and Cowgirls. You get a little help from a couple teams on the final Sunday. And then you sneak into the playoffs, double-digit the Vikings, double-digit the Giants. And if that blockhead McNabb didn't take 3 quarters off, we would have had a Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Super Bowl. Do you see any resemblance between the two squads?
I hope so. For this team's sake, I hope so. And I hope that they're better than that team that I was on back then. Because we didn't complete it, especially going out to Arizona, getting beat up out there. I think that we had a much better defense, a much more consistent team. You're talking about over time. That this team has been together for a couple of years now. They haven't been consistently good except for last year, 13 wins. I thought that was impressive. But this year they haven't shown me the same type of fight throughout all the games this season. So I think you can probably put us in the same category, but I don't think those teams very much resemble each other, to be honest with you.
Gentlemen, riddle of the day. What do the Eagles and pepperoni pizza have in common?
Oh, boy. What?
They both are going to repeat on you.
All right, Davey. Thanks.
We'll be back.
It was a bad attempt. By the way, what does it feel like to have a record broken? That's a serious question because most people will say, my records are made to be broken. You got to feel a little remorse at that, no?
Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, not that they're made to be broken. Mm-hmm. You will hope that you set a record that never is broken. But if they are broken, how much do I care? Very, very little.
Really?
Almost like, oh, that's cool, and keep on going type of thing. I'm certainly happy for Zach Ertz, and his ability to create space and catch the football is remarkable. And I think when you look at what offenses are doing now, all the receiving records will be broken probably except for Jerry Rice if guys played long enough.
That's very humble of you because a few years ago you were wearing ball caps that said 93 on them. I guess you've matured over the years.
I've matured. It just doesn't matter. If I was still playing now, it would probably matter. But because I'm done, to be mentioned in football terms at this point is important to me. That's all that matters. Not that the records matter at all.
Did you explain that to your children?
Yeah, the kids did. The kids are upset with Zach. They're not happy. The kids want me to be on top of the record. Now, the kids are not happy.
Of course they do.
I'm okay with it. The kids are not happy.
I can see your daughter looking at the screen. Boo. Right?
Daddy, you need to do better with Zach words.
Yes. Right. All right. We got a break coming up. And on the other side, we'll take some more phone calls. A reminder, the Fanatic pregame show and watch party is happening this weekend. Former Eagle Jason Avant, Devon Gibbons, Bob Cooney. Fanatic pregame shows at Sugar House Casino starting at 12 p.m. At 3 p.m., you can join Natalie and Bob Cooney for the Dallas Sucks Quizzo with great holiday prizes up for grabs. And then you can hang out and watch the game with the Fanatics' Andrew Salchunas on Fishtown Hop's huge 10x10 big screen. Dollar Dogs, $2 Miller Lite Drafts, $12 Miller Lite Buckets, presented by Sugar House Casino. Philly loves a winner. It's supported by Visit Philly and Gearhard's Appliances. Take a quick break. We'll come back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. I ask you a question that has nothing to do with football right now.
What's that?
Because we've been in this conversation, because in this AI story, he names his top five MCs.
Mm-hmm.
And his top five list goes as follows. He's got Biggie, Tupac, Andre 3000, Redman, and Hove.
Redman? What?
Yeah, he's got Redman in the top five. The Brian Westbrook top five all MCs.
Oh,
all-time MCs.
Let me think.
B-West.
I probably... Let me... All right, let me think about it. All right, Jay-Z, number one. Probably the most consistent. He's relevant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's witty, has the best flow. Nas, probably.
Mm-hmm.
He has great content, great voice, great flow.
Mm-hmm.
Biggie, great storyteller, funny. Jadakiss, I think he has like hard-hitting lyrics, great flow, nice voice, love that. Kendrick Lamar, recent, obviously. Great flow, great cadence, good content. And, you know, this is number six. Nobody, not a lot of people will even mention this guy, but he does have a great flow. Black Thought of the Roots.
Black Thought has been named a couple times by people today.
Good. He's off the top. He can flow.
Mm-hmm.
That's six, top six right there. It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, I'm White Thought, by the way.
Really?
Yes, I am.
I think you are, actually.
Yeah, so I have an album.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's coming.
White Thought.
Okay. White Thought's album is coming up soon.
Meet you.
Let's get back to the phones. Kyle in Nazareth. Kyle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kyle.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Brian. How you guys doing?
What's up, Kyle?
What's up, Kyle?
I want to talk about the Sixers. Two of the biggest glaring weaknesses on the team, like you guys mentioned, definitely backup big man. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts about TJ, if he's going to be on the roster next year. Some of my friends are saying he stays, some are saying he goes, so I'm kind of interested on your thoughts of what you guys think.
You know, my first thought, if TJ is on the roster next year, that means the team is in the same place. This team should be better. We want this team to be better. If he's on the roster, this team is still not where we want it to be at. They have to upgrade. They have to get better. And I think Mike mentioned something earlier, and before I came on, their second unit is the one that got exposed. That second unit has to be better, and TJ is still on this roster next year. They're not.
Well, there is some whispers that they turned down a first-round pick for him, which I can't believe it.
That's a mistake.
But if he stays with the team, I agree with you. He has to be a third option at that position. Mm-hmm. He's like a 5 to 10 minute guy who can change a tempo if they use him. But now they have to push him to 25 minutes. It's just not – you can't win that way with him. You can't have two non-scorers in the backcourt at the same time.
You know, the good team, they have guys coming off the bench that are trying to get 20 points in their limited amount of minutes. That's what the good teams have. They have scorers coming off the bench that are hungry, they're aggressive, and they're trying to go get buckets in however many minutes that they have on the floor. We don't have that.
Gotcha. I like Shamit. I'm not sure what Zari Smith's going to bring once he's healthy, but backup big man guys, what do you think's out there? Zari Smith?
Zaire. But that's all right. Go ahead.
Zaire. What's out there you guys think that they can replace Amir Johnson with and possibly get another big?
Well, they can probably do that for next year. I'm worried about this year. And they didn't play Amir Johnson against Toronto to eat up some minutes. I don't know. And their bench is feeble right now.
Yeah.
It just is. It's they need to get some action off the bench. And so Elton Brand's got to be pretty active.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were a little exposed. I was disappointed to see it.
I was impressed by Kyle Lowry. I mean,
he's a great player.
He didn't do anything special. I don't think he shot very well.
However, everything in control, doesn't he?
Right.
Yep.
He led the team. He controlled it. And he made sure the guys that needed the ball got the ball. And in a big moment, he did knock down the three. I was impressed.
The one thing that he's always been is just tougher than nails. I mean, he's played here, obviously, playing at Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
And he took two charges from a 275-pound 7'2 guy. He didn't blink at all.
Nope.
That's Philly tough. That's Carl Dougherty tough.
That's right.
Matt.
That's
Matt,
right.
Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Matt? How you doing?
Yo, B-West, I love your top six, man. I would add Rakim and maybe Gangstar. Not top six, but they're both good solo.
A lot of people have mentioned Rakim on Twitter.
The man never used the curse word in any of his raps.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I like an occasional curse word in a rap. Come on.
For emphasis. for
emphasis.
I just think it's impressive.
I hear. All right.
Yeah. All right, anyway, I wanted to ask B. West. I know the stat, Mike. I think you might have posted it there. Since 2012, the Eagles and the Cowboys have split every game.
Yeah.
Is there any mindset, B. West, as a running back on the Eagles, like after a loss to the Cowboys, was the team totally nuts? Or, you know, for that to be somewhat, I mean, it seems kind of common, I guess, that they're going to, we have an advantage over the underdog to split this game based on history.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that every season is going to speak for itself. I truly don't know that it's an advantage or disadvantage to lose the first one and come back and play again. I do know this. The Eagles are 100% sure what they need to do to win this football game. It's no different than the first time. I don't know that they had enough horses, enough healthy guys the first time. I also don't know that mentally they were in the same place the last time they played. This time is obviously it's for all the Marbles. They have to win this game, or it will be that they're going home unless something crazy happens. And so I think they're in a different place mentally as far as
you guys were sweeping the Cowboys back in the day, weren't you?
Yeah, the Cowboys weren't our rival back in the day. They just weren't. Obviously, we hated them. Everyone hated them. But they weren't our rival at the time. More than anything, the Giants probably were more of our rival at the time, to be honest.
Yeah, if the teams are fairly even, then you know you can see the split. But you guys were decidedly better than the Eagles. I mean, the Cowboys back in the day.
Oh, yeah, we were.
Let's go.
Go ahead. Am I still on? I wanted to say one more stat, too. But I think the X factor is Wentz. I mean, we have the better quarterback. It's time to go, man. He wasn't involved to win the big game last year, but he got us there. So if he's back, this is his game to win. But one more stat. I love listening to you guys battle over your picks. I heard a stat that just recently, only 14% this season of the teams, of the games of the point spread have come into play. So I think your outright winners are the way to gamble, man. Take more underdogs and take the money line.
All right. 14%. You know, I got to be honest with you. I've stunk this year. I haven't invested as much time normally in the picks than I usually do. I'll be honest with you. And Brian, you've gotten on a roll lately.
You know, I want you to stop making excuses. Maybe you're just not good at picking.
Especially like college basketball season starts, I'll have some, you know, boffo selections for my clients. But right now, you know, I haven't studied as much.
Well, people, I'll tell you this. When I was out on Monday night in Philly, people tune into the show. They tune into your picks.
Yes.
So you need to step your game up.
I know.
You're letting a lot of people
I know. College football is kind of done now, and the bowl games are pretty even. So, you know, my college usually is my money. But not this year. It's been a bad year. I'll rebound.
It's always next year, brother.
Hey, Brian, have a great weekend. And we'll be interested in talking to you on Monday about this game.
Sounds great, brother. Take care.
Man, there he is, Brian Westbrook. Again, he is brought to us by Landis Block. Draw Dropping Outdoor Paradise is online at landisbc.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.